I'm going to ask you to turn to a very, very familiar passage to all of you, and that is Matthew chapter 28. And I want to look at what is typically called the Great Commission, but I want to look at it from a different standpoint, perhaps, than you've ever seen it before. I don't know. I've titled the message, Go to All Everywhere. Go to All Everywhere. And I base that upon this text and other ones, like Mark 16:15. Listen. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go to all, everywhere. Okay? You found Matthew 28. Let me ask you this. Don't answer. Just think it in your mind. What's the most important thing in your life? Right now. As you sit here, what is the most important thing in your life? Okay? You thought about that. Then my second question to you is this. In what way are you partnering with the Lord? In what way are you in partnership with Christ? Because he says to all that we're to go to all. And we're to go to all everywhere. Why is that? Because the Bible says of our God that he is not willing that any single soul should perish. He doesn't want anyone to perish. If a person perishes, it's because of the human factor. It's not because God desires them to perish. This idea that God condemns some people to hell is a falsehood. There is nowhere in the Bible that is even hinted at. God calls us to go, but at the same time, because he is not willing that any should perish, he delays sending judgment upon this earth because he wants people to have longer opportunity to get saved. Now, I remember my parents, when I was a child, telling me to do certain things, and I didn't want to do them. And I remember, they would call it dilly-dallying back in the day. I would take my sweet old time. I didn't want to do it. So I would drag my feet, so to speak. Oh, I'd do it, but I hated that I had to do it. And so I just take my time doing what my parents told me to do. I just move slow. You know why? Because my heart wasn't in it. You know what? I think that that is a common Christian attitude when it comes to the Great Commission. I think that's a common attitude among believers. If we do it at all, we drag our feet. We don't really want to do this. We don't do it with our whole heart. I want to say something that I hope is shocking, but it's true. If you're alive, and you are, you're here today, you're a believer, you are responsible for the lost souls on planet Earth. To some degree, every believer is responsible for lost souls on this earth. And God has called you to go, me to go. He hasn't just called me, he's called all of us to go, right? Go to all everywhere, and it's a call that is not just to the 12 disciples, not just to people that are in what they call full-time ministry, but it is a call to all believers to go with the gospel. Wherever they go, go with the gospel. Go to all everywhere. And so we have a responsibility. You don't have to sit around and wait for God to call you to go. He's already done that. And it might be said that when we as believers appear before what the Bible calls the judgment seat of Christ, if we didn't go, then we better have a time when God specifically spoke to us and told us not to. Because we're called to go. That's the point. The Great Commission, as it's called, is it's orders from headquarters, if I can put it that way. You know, in the military, some of you were in the military. In the military, you obey the last order that you were given until you get a new order. If they stick you up on some in some godforsaken place to defend a piece of ground or territory, you do that until they tell you to come back. Until they tell you, okay, you can retreat. One of the last commands that I find in the Bible is this that we call the Great Commission. And God hasn't issued a new order. The old order still stands. Go to all and go everywhere with the gospel. So obey your last order that you got from the Lord. Go. Let's pause a moment. And then I want to look at these verses, like I said, I hope in a different light than maybe we've looked at them before. Heavenly Father, we need your enablement. We need your enlightenment. We pray today that you will use this very familiar passage, these words that you spoke there on the Mount of Olives, to your disciples, to us, and that we would hear them as you meant them to be taken. We would take them literally, and yet we would see the spiritual power and punch that were in these words, that we would understand them as you meant them to be understood today. So open our eyes spiritually. Show us. More importantly, when you show us, Lord, may it just register and may it stick in our hearts and may it be life-changing as it's meant to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I've had you turn to Matthew 28, right? We really look at the Great Commission beginning in verse 18. So you got verse 18. And Jesus came, it says, and he spake unto them, saying, all right, he's getting ready to tell them, you go to all everywhere. And here's what he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Here's the first truth from this Great Commission, as it's called, that I want you to think about this afternoon. And that is, when you go to all everywhere, when you go with you as a believer, you in Christ. You go with you positioned in Christ. I think that's behind his saying to them, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Wait a minute. How does Jesus have all that power? How does he have power over both heaven and earth? Well, we know he's God. Yes, that's true. But he is the God-man. And he came to this earth, and what he accomplished on this earth gives him the right to hold authority over heaven and earth. What he did on that cross is he judged the prince of this world, John tells us. He cast out the prince of darkness. He was victorious over him. He defeated the god of this world. Paul tells us that when Jesus gave up his life as a sacrifice on our behalf on that tree, he not only procured our salvation, our forgiveness of sin, but he defeated Satan and all of his powers. Colossians 2:14 says that on that cross, Jesus disarmed the devil spiritually. He spiritually disarmed the devil, and he destroyed Satan's ability to have ultimate victory. It's gone. He has already defeated him. In fact, it says that on the cross, Jesus not only defeated Satan, but he publicly paraded him as a defeated foe. So in the past, he defeated the wicked one. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, Paul is praying for these believers that God would open their eyes, that he would give them understanding, and he says that they would understand what the power of God that brought forth Jesus out from among the dead, what that power of God can do. When he raised him from the dead and went farther than that, he raised him from the dead and he raised him through the heavens and set him on the right hand of the throne of God. The past defeat of Satan involves not only what he accomplished at the cross, but what he has at his disposal as God seated on the throne of God. So when he says go, he's saying, but you don't go alone. He says, you go with you in Christ. You're positioned in Christ. And Christ is the one that defeated Satan and all of his power in the past. And so currently, your position is in that risen, enthroned Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, he talks about the fact that we are seated together with Christ in the heavenlies, far above all these principalities and powers. So when he says go, he's reminding us you are in Christ, and Christ is on the throne. And so you are on the throne. That's why all power is given to Jesus in heaven and earth has bearing upon you going. Because you're in him. You're seated with him on that throne. And he says in Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, when the 70 that he sent out returned, they're enthused with the power that God gave them. And so he says to them in that 10th chapter of Luke, and I want to quote it specifically. He said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and listen to this, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Isn't that amazing? That's your current position in Christ. So when we have the Great Commission that tells us to go, realize that you go in Christ, in that place, and thus you're guaranteed victory. James would say, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Or another passage we could mention would be that the passage in the next chapter of Luke, in Luke chapter 11. And I love this one too, because it's such a wonderful picture, again, of the authority that we have in the Lord. It's Luke 11, and it's verse 21 and 22. Here's what Jesus says. He's just been accused of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub. Okay? And he's correcting that. And he says, when a strong man, armed, keeps his palace, his goods are peace. His goods are safe. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, all of his weapons. He taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and he divideth his spoils. You get the picture? He's picturing for us what he already has accomplished over Satan. He's saying, Satan is like a king, and he has a palace. It's called this world, right? He said, as long as Satan is armed, he can protect all of his belongings. But when a stronger being than Satan steps on the scene and overcomes him and disarms him, then that one that disarms him can also snatch out of his grip anything that he wants. And the picture is simply this, that you and I are guaranteed a victory. As we go in Christ, in the position of victory. In the past, he defeated Satan and all of his powers. He is currently on the throne. We are currently seated with him on that throne. We resist the devil. We defeat the devil through his power. We can bind that strong man through the power of Christ. And we can spoil all of his goods. We can snatch out of his possession. That's what which rightfully belongs to God to begin with. Put that in your Great Commission plan. Have you ever thought of the Great Commission in those terms? Yeah, we're called to go, but we're called to go with you who are going in Christ, in that exalted, superior position of victory. All authority, he says, is mine in heaven and on earth, and that's why. Okay? So, Jesus' victory becomes the believer's victory. And we have his power broken when we go. If we claim it. If we claim it. Now, here's the second thing. Look with me again in that 20th verse of Matthew 28. He says, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. When you go with you in Christ, but verse 20 tells us that when you go with Christ in you. The difference. When you go with you in Christ, you invade the enemy's territory, right? But when you go with Christ in you, you are infused with Christ's life. There's an invasion of the enemy's territory. Here, I am with you always. In other words, Christ is in you. You're not only in Christ, Christ is in you. There's an infusion of Christ's life in you. That's a reliable promise. I think it was Brother Craig that hit on it this morning in the Torah time about don't be afraid, be courageous, because wherever you go, I'm going to be with you, right? Deuteronomy, that the first time that appears in the scripture is in Deuteronomy chapter 31. And verses 6, verse 8, it's repeated again after Moses' death by God to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. And then Joshua repeats it to the Israelites in Joshua 1:9. And then the writer to the Jewish believers in the first century in Hebrews 13 picks up on that. And he says, you don't have to be afraid what men can do unto you, because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so, as Jesus says here in verse 20, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, literally the end of the age. I'll be with you to the ends of the earth, but I'll be with you to the end of time as well. See? So you go with Christ in you. You have a reliable promise here. This is really the courage that we need for evangelism. Not only that we go with you in Christ, but we go never alone, we go with Christ in us. Courage for evangelism based upon that promise, based upon the fact of his presence. He's not just with you when you go. He's in you. That's a huge difference. He's in you. God, the God of heaven, the one who said all authority in heaven and on earth, he lives inside of you. He occupies you. He is a permanent resident in you. And so you're never alone wherever you go, whoever you go to. And that makes all the difference, folks. Christ is in you. It's his divine presence. And that is what equals spiritual power when you go. The spiritual power is the fact that he is in you. It's not you, it's him in you. It's him through you. It's his life in you. It's, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's, I can do nothing apart from him. But if I'm abiding in him and he's abiding in me, his words, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. The flesh profiteth nothing. It's the Spirit that gives life. And so here is how we have to view this going, this great commission. That you never go it alone. Christ is in you. And he brings spiritual power. Where do you think you get supernatural wisdom when people ask you questions when you're talking to them about the Lord and you don't know what to say to them? Did you know you can depend upon the Spirit of God right then and say, Lord, I don't know what to say. Give me some wisdom here. And if you have spent time with the Lord and his word is in your heart, he will give you the wisdom. He'll give you the words. Where do you think boldness comes to witness? You don't whip it up. You don't work yourself up. You don't give yourself a pep talk to go out and witness. Where do you get that boldness? It is a supernatural thing that Christ in you gives you the power to have the words that you don't have yourself, to have the wisdom that you don't possess, and to have the boldness that's not your personality. It comes from him. This is the Great Commission. This is what he's trying to teach through this. It's not just going. It's going realizing that that as you go, you're in Christ. And as you go, Christ is in you. Makes a huge difference in witnessing. Carrying out the Great Commission. You understand what I'm saying? That makes sense. Okay. Third and final thing I wanted to mention. It's not actually found here in Matthew 28, but it is implied here. But it is found specifically in another passage where Jesus is talking to the people of Israel on the day of the celebration, the last day of the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles in John chapter 37. And at the Feast of Tabernacles, they had a daily pouring ceremony where priests went down to the Pool of Siloam and they drew in golden pitchers. They drew fresh spring water that they would bring, march in a procession up to the Temple Mount, and they would pour this water out on the altar in symbolism. Out of the spring, to the Jewish people, water that comes out of a spring is called living water. It's not stagnant and dead like water in a cistern that just sits there, that just fills with rain. Living water. They'd bring that water, and on the seventh day, the last day, they'd do it like seven times. They made a big deal out of it. And just at the opportune moment, when there was a hush in that ceremony. It says in verse 37 of John 7, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, in other words, he shouted it out. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Here's the third truth that I want you to get regarding this great commission to go to all everywhere. Not only that as you go, you are in Christ and Christ is in you, but as you go with Christ out of you. Christ flowing out of you is what I'm talking about. It is the emission of the Christ life from your life. Now remember, Christ is in you. It's His life that has spiritual power to save. And when you go with Christ in you, you're to release Him through your life to those around you. This is what witnessing is about. You go with Christ out of you, with Christ flowing out of your life. It's the emission of Christ's life from your life. Now, notice how it is actually activated. He says in that 37th verse, if any man thirst, it begins with a desire for Christ. Thirst, a deep wanting, the reality of Christ's life flowing out of you to other people. And it's provided by you coming and asking for it. See that? By you coming and asking for it, it's provided. You have those rivers. You have that living water already in you if you're a believer. What this is about is that living water flowing out of you to others. And it'll never happen if you don't desire it to happen. It's only if you're thirsty, and that speaks of desire. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. In other words, ask for it. Come to Jesus and ask for it. It's only provided by you being desirous of it and coming to Christ and asking Him for it. And then notice the rest of it. It begins with the desire for Christ's life to flow out of you, but it also entails you believing that His life will flow out of you. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, that living water will flow out. So drinking and believing are the same thing. They're parallel in these two verses. So what I'm saying is this. As you go, you must go with Christ flowing out of you. That has to be, first of all, your desire, something that you come to the Lord and asked for, but also something that you desire, you've asked for, that you believe it's going to happen. You drink. You believe. Effective evangelism is the result of believing that Christ's life can and will flow out of your life. In other words, you are believing God in dependence for His enablement when you go. To all, everywhere. And then look at verse 38. He says, if you thirst, you desire, and you believe me for this, out of your belly. It's interesting to me that the word belly and the word womb in the New Testament, same Greek word. The place where life flows from. Out of your innermost being, he says, shall flow rivers of living water. Here, not only desiring Christ, not only believing Christ's life, but sharing Christ's life, the flow of it. By the way, that word flow, it's the only time that word is used in the entire New Testament, the Greek word translated flow. The only time it's used in the whole New Testament. It's the life of Christ flowing out from you to other lives that you touch, and as a result of that, their spiritual needs are met. I say, that's true live streaming. The life of Jesus streaming out of your life, that's a live stream. It's Christ's life streaming from you to other people. And sometimes that's invisible to you. But eventually, you know what happens? It becomes undeniable that Christ's life is flowing out of you to others. And when the Lord makes that visible to you, when that becomes apparent, it is a glorious thing, is it not? So, go. Go to all, everywhere. But if you're following the words of the Lord in what we call the Great Commission, realize three things. Realize, number one, you go in Christ, the one in whom all authority in heaven and earth resides. Secondly, you go with Christ in you. There is all the spiritual power and enablement you'll ever need. And thirdly, you go with Christ flowing out of you. So you go to an invasion of the enemy's territory. You go with the infusion of Christ's life in you, and you go with the emission of Christ's life out from you.